Hello and welcome to Conquers Corner. My name is Peter Higgins and today I'm working in collaboration with Niche Magazine. And I have the privilege of speaking with Christian Fuchs, who is a Leicester City fullback and a former captain of the Austrian football team.
That's correct. Thank you. Nice to have me.
Thank you ever so much for coming on to this interview with me. Now, I want to start firstly because during my research, I noticed something and it was your birthday last week.
Exactly. Is that correct? Yeah.
So that makes you an Aries. I brought a little present for you because I'm absolutely certain. You can open it now.
Can I open it right away?
Open it right now.
Let's do this. So did you wrap that?
I wrapped it. That's why it doesn't look so good.
I was not sure if he can wrap that. It's wrapped very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. So it's a little present to signify what you mean to certain people as a role model.
Oh, that's nice.
And countless aspiring football players and entrepreneurs around the world.
So thank you very much. I'll have a read in that.
Okay.
That's very cool. Thank you.
So, coincidentally, Christian, your star sign is that of Aries.
Yeah.
Correct? And what it says about Aries is that you're deemed to have certain strengths, aspirations, very optimistic, very energetic, which suits exactly what you are as a football player.
Well, that's correct. I think sometimes... Sometimes I'm shooting over the limit because I'm just non-stop and I'm, like you said, I can not stop until something is done, something is finished. I'm literally running around like crazy for my brand, for football, for whatever I'm doing, but I like it and yeah. That's the thing. I need it. I cannot just lay back at home, sitting on a couch, I don't know, watching football, which I'm not doing anyway too
yes.
much. By the way, the game, Liverpool-Man City, I was watching, but before that, I literally had no clue who's playing when they are playing. I'm focused on my team, obviously.
Yes.
That's the most important to me. That's why I'm active on all the other projects that I'm running. But other than that, there's too little time for me to watch football because my thoughts are simply somewhere else.
Cool. Right. What other strengths would you say, Christian, you need to have and have empowered you to become the global phenomenon that you are?
Well, I think it was down to consistency, believing in your own strength. I think that's on top of everything, that you have to believe to achieve something. It needs dedication, hard work. I mean, everybody's saying that. I think all the viewers out there have heard that too many times probably. Yeah. But as a matter of fact, when you want to be successful, when you want to achieve something, it's always down to the dedication that you put into your work and not always believe in yourself. Always believe in yourself, keep going, and eventually it will pay off.
Absolutely. No, thank you for that. So we have to talk, obviously, about Leicester City Football Club and you arriving there. And this, as it began, you got signed. You didn't actually get to meet Nigel Pearson.
No, I never. He was the manager that signed me. Yeah, that's also a phenomenon.
Absolutely. So you arrived. You didn't get onto the team initially with the new manager, and then you got into the team. You never got out of the team again, and you took them onto an absolutely phenomenal run, and you won the Premier League, which is an absolutely fantastic achievement. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Well, it has been a great journey throughout this whole season, also throughout the whole 3 years that I'm here with Leicester now. Literally every season was something different going on, and as you said, it was kind of an awkward start because I was literally having my holidays. I was on the beach at the bar ordering a non-alcoholic drink, as we do as professionals.
Yes.
And suddenly my agent is calling me saying, listen, are you standing or sitting? And I'm like, well, I'm just ordering some non-alcoholic drinks at the bar. And he was like, well, you're better off sitting down. And I'm like, okay, what can be, you know? And he was like, well, the manager that signed you, Nigel Pearson, he just got sacked. And I'm like, all right, hold on, let me sit down first. because the issue you have then when you join a new club and a manager signs you that's convinced of your talent, that is planning with you, puts everything in a different perspective. You don't know then, okay, who's coming next?
Yeah.
What's going to be the plans of the new manager? Obviously, he has to work with you because you're at the club, but Does he rely on you? Does he trust you?
Yes.
And as you said, it started very slow for me. But again, to the question that you asked me before, I believed in myself. I knew I can help the team. I knew I'm a good player.
Yes.
To bring my qualities in, and yeah, as you said, then we went on this incredible run.
Absolutely. Schalke's lost Leicester City's football club's game.
Yeah, it sounds looks like that. Yeah.
So obviously won the Premier League, went into the Europeans, captained and got the Austrian team to the Euro 2016. What other highlights have you had we can share with us since arriving at Leicester City Football Club?
Well, for me, obviously it was winning the Premier League. Nothing goes over that, but within this Premier League season, this Premier League winning season, mm-hmm. one of the biggest highlights for me was Jamie Vardy's goal against Manchester United at home where he had his, I think it was the 11th consecutive goal.
Yes,
yeah. But it's not so much about the goal itself. By the way, I assisted that goal. But it was about the team spirit that you felt then on the pitch itself, because everybody came together, everybody was generally happy for Vardy that he equalized the high score, the record from Ruud van Nistelrooy back then.
Yeah.
And that was such a great feeling that comes maybe not right after, because we had the Champions League as well the following season, but right there, right on top is this great moment for myself.
Mm. It was during that season where you, I think, started this rock, paper, scissors challenge, and there's a buzz across social media.
Yeah.
All of the teams that didn't support anybody, particularly in the Premier League, were waving and pushing, you know, Leicester further and further up, to the point where at Christmas you'd gone from bottom to top. What inspired that first sort of, obviously the camaraderie was there, but this rock, paper, scissors, where did it all start from?
Well, it started with this play around on my name, which is the Nofuchs given.
Yeah.
And, well, it's just me. I think everybody who knows me knows that I'm always up for a joke. And I had this idea of doing some challenges with my colleagues, which then expanded, obviously. It went outside the locker to other people. And but Shinji, I mean, Shinji is just a cool guy to do something with. And eventually I asked him, do you want to play the game?
Yes.
And I had our Player Liaison Manager filming with my phone.
Yeah.
Very simple. I had to tell him to do it landscape, not portrait, because it's out there, it goes on YouTube.
Yeah.
And from there, it developed massively.
Yeah.
But this initial rock, scissors, paper with the ear flick,
don't forget that. Yes, we might do one of those later.
I'm up for that. Well, but this initial video is definitely one of my favorite ones.
Mm-hmm. So you were attaching a lot of that across social media, and you'd started with the No Fucks Given sort of hashtag, and it went all over the place. It became a social media phenomenon.
It took off, yeah. I mean, it was just, for me, a little side hobby.
Yes.
Hobby, let's call it that. But people loved it because it's something different to the regular football business.
Absolutely.
Something different that a player stepping out of his comfort zone and doing something different, and to me it's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, and the great thing about it was it created such a phenomenon for the team as well as yourself.
Exactly, a very positive spirit.
Absolutely,
was
and it just showed that. I mean, it was almost like these guys are so knitted, you know, so wedded to the fact that we're all in this together.
It showed the team
fantastic.
Spirit. The team spirit in lock, and that's again something that can then end up.
Absolutely, you've got the 12th man, almost.
Exactly.
So how did you turn that social media buzz into the brand, the No Fucks Given brand? How did that come about?
Well, without naming any other brands here right now, I was asking one of the brands that I worked with if they want to support these videos, because I hit a couple of million views for the first videos, and I was like, whoa, that was also surprising me.
Yeah.
But it was great, and I showed them the numbers, but they were not really interested. So I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do something myself. And, you know, we did some brainstorming about what is No Fucks Given, what does it stand for, but who who is No Fooks Given.
Yes.
And we came across pirates at some point, because the way they behave, I mean, we all know Pirates of the Caribbean, best example is like just, they don't give a fooks.
Fooks. Yeah, yeah.
And people like skulls.
Yes.
So that mix turned into a skull, the skull that's here in my chest right now. Yeah. But the special thing about that skull, because all the skulls are always looking very serious, but No Fooks Given always comes with a twist and with a laugh. And it should entertain people, so our skull is smiling. It has to be smiling because of the way No Fooks Given is.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the irony is your dad insisted on you continuing your education, so you got an economics degree. How has that helped with developing and nurturing the brand that you've grown?
Well, don't forget that I passed my exam in economics a couple of years before I started all that. So
because you
not everything was fresh there anymore, but yeah. I know how it works.
Yes.
It definitely helped me 100%. And
cool.
But I'm still learning by the day, which is exciting for me, not only with the videos that I do, but obviously with the clothing, because there's so many areas that I still didn't explore. And yeah, I'm happy to learn day by day.
Yeah. So you founded, but it's run by yourself and your wife, Raluca.
Exactly.
You founded that in the No Fooks Given brand in 2016.
Exactly.
Was it always your intention, potentially, to go into
business
or branding?
I know your question. No, I never... Well, I was interested into fashion, but I was never wasting any thoughts about doing fashion myself. But with this initial T-shirt that we started, it was literally, we just said, okay, let's do something branded for the video, and that's it. We didn't think about selling it. No, but because of all the buzz that was created in this winning season and people seeing the videos and asking for these T-shirts, we like, all right, let's produce a couple more. But the buzz never ended. So eventually we said, okay, let's make it a real company. Let's focus a little bit on it, let's put a little bit money behind it, and here we are now, 2 years later, and it's going well.
Absolutely going well, because you started with just the, I'm getting this right, the orange skull on the black T-shirt, that was the original first one.
That's it.
Which everybody just had to have.
Yeah.
You know, even people that weren't Leicester City fans or Christian Fuchs fans, you know.
They turned into Leicester City fans.
because you were winning.
Yeah.
Right, so please can you tell us which menswear products you currently hold and sell via the nofootsgiven.com website?
Well,
what can you find there
currently? Yeah, at nofootsgiven.com. Well, that's a good question. Like you said, we started with one T-shirt, and just yesterday we had a run through the whole stock, and we are right now carrying 80 products.
Wow.
Which is a little bit more on the men's side, but almost equally split up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also astonished by that number because, you know, as you develop the brand, you're looking at the new designs. You want to see where you can develop even further, where you can take the brand to. But yesterday when we did this run through, I was positively surprised, knowing where we're coming from. Absolutely. With one T-shirt. And suddenly we have this whole range of 80 plus products. Mm. It's amazing. And well, we're carrying polos, t-shirts like more normal t-shirts, more fashion t-shirts, but then also the ones with the big skull, where the skull comes in various variations, down to tracksuits that we started just recently, which I really like. Yeah, it's my brand, but I really like
them.
They have a great fit. You also have to like what you wear, and
it
has to feel comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we have some parkas, cardigans, shirts. So you name it, we have it.
Cool. But
other than jeans, we are not in jeans and suits. Mm. I mean, maybe we're going to start a suit for you.
I'd love a suit made by you. Yeah, definitely. So you've also launched unisex and women's wear as well in the range.
Exactly.
So ladies can be in unison with their partners.
They can look sexy in our products, 100%,
Cool.
That's what we want. We men want that, no?
Of course we do. So, you've started one T-shirt. What have been the challenges for you, Christian, and your team with growing from a startup to get into
I wouldn't call it team at the beginning. It was the team, my wife and myself.
Yeah.
So for us it was, we were completely greenhorns when it comes to that. We had no clue about anything.
Mm.
And just figuring out the whole process of how to produce a t-shirt, which was all new for us, which ways you have to go. It's a long process. I mean, everybody sees the t-shirt and there's the skull and everybody says, okay, I mean, nowadays you can print something online and you get it and everybody says, hey, I made my own t-shirt. Well, it doesn't really work like that. There's so many steps behind it. Which colors to pick, which garments to pick. Then you have to think about the neck labels, hem labels. There's so much going on where I have to tell you a little story. So we went with Lester to Dubai a little bit longer. And one of our players, he saw a Cavalli shirt, I think it was. And the shirt was like 300 pounds, 250 pounds, something like that. And he was like, whoa, that's too expensive. Which is right, in my eyes. I would not buy myself a shirt like that. But I also know, on the other hand, how much this t-shirt might be in production, because they are obviously producing in higher volumes than I do. So it might be like, with the quality they have, probably a 10 pound, 8 pound in production. And then they have a pretty big margin on this one. But my point of view is they should even charge more, because there's so much work behind it. Mm. So that 250, 300 pounds is just all right.
Cool.
So having all these insights into all the distribution ways, whatever you need, makes me say, those brands, they should charge.
Yeah, because you know what goes into the whole 100% of the product.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So the website's been an absolutely phenomenal success. We've also got the products in retailers locally and some nationally. Can you tell us about some of the retailers where you can find your No Foops Given products?
I'm happy to. We just had a big launch party at Topman here in Highcross, which was great, where like 300 people showed up on the course of 2 hours with DJs, drinks.
Cool.
It was amazing. I had some, because I'm very close, our brand is also very close with football freestylers, some edgy sports, basketball obviously, so I had a little football tennis game at the top level of at Topman, and always again it was a No Foops Given challenge, live No Foops Given challenge with the punishment where
forfeits,
the loser team had to, well, let's say they were freezing after the punishment, because I was literally pouring ice in their t-shirts.
Right.
So that was very nice for me because I was winning. But we also at Pilot, which is also very nice, cool independent store, makes me proud. We also had a party there when we started our last range. And we're obviously trying to expand. We have good connections to Thailand, where we are at King Power.
Yeah, of course,
thanks to our owners. But it's going well. We also have some reorders there already, because the brand is simply, good, I guess. And But we are trying to expand more in the US in the near future. The ways are already there. My wife is living in the US, so she's trying to get us into stores in at Barney's, for example, in New York, which is
huge,
which would be very good. Yeah, but we're 2 years old.
Yeah.
So with whatever success we had so far, I'm very happy. But knowing me as an Aries.
Yes.
I want the next step to be happening yesterday.
Of course. Yeah. I was going to say, as a startup, could you just stress to us how important it is to nurture partnerships and to grow via a network of other like-minded individuals?
Exactly. I almost forgot. We're also in the
DHL partnership.
DHL partnership, which is amazing for us. It's a great brand, and they are really good in helping startups with distribution, with shipping it. They're really good in that. But I forgot to mention that we also have a good cooperation with Leicester City, most supporting Burgess Run, who was always at the last home game.
Yeah.
We have a special collection for this run only. We also in the store at the Riders basketball team.
Yes, I'm going to talk about that.
You know, I simply like the community here and also to give back to the community.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, with regards to obviously the football, as the most, you're a professional footballer, you've got to do all this other stuff as well. How do you find it fitting all that in? Because I know that must be a challenge to just, you know...
Well, it takes some effort. Some effort. You can either do it or you can be lazy and saying, no, it's too much work, but that's not me. That's not me. As I said, I'm running around nonstop. Simply my blood is not letting me sit still, and I need this excitement. I simply like to be in touch with people.
Yes.
And I like to use my talent, when you can call it a talent, of never being tired, to run around and get in touch with people, meeting them and finding good partnerships with them.
Thank you. What are your aspirations as a retail entrepreneur long term, and the No Fooks Given brand? What's your aspirations for that? Because you're saying you want to be on the next thing.
For me, it's never early enough to grow the brand. Meanwhile, my wife is always telling me, she's similar to me, to be honest. She also wants to get things done, and we're working on a high rate. When we want to get something done, everybody has to be on our pace, otherwise it's not good enough for us. But we also know that you have to take it step by step, and you cannot just skip one step, because then you might suffer a little bit later on. So right now we are focusing on the UK to expand the brand also outside of Leicester, to maybe get into stores in London, which would be a great hype, to get into showrooms, which always helps brands. Mm-hmm. And then for me, you know, it's as busy as it keeps me, it's still a fun project for me. I would not do it if I wouldn't enjoy what I'm doing. So the sky's the limit for me right now.
No, that's good to hear.
And if eventually, which I don't believe, because I simply put too much effort into it, and I want the brand to be successful in the long run. But if it should not be happening at some point, or for which reason ever, okay, I had fun and I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. So that will definitely help me for the future.
No, I think it's gonna grow. You're the face of the brand. You've got the skull as a, you know,
not too bad of a face. No?
It's a good face.
No,
it's a good face.
Thank you.
So the USP, you know, your unique selling point is yourself. You've got social media following, you've got a global following. So, yeah.
But, you know, eventually I'm the USP right now because I'm a public person. People know me. But I also have to think about what's happening if I'm not that much in the public anymore. So eventually I want the brand, as it grows, to be independent from myself, because No Fooks Given, it's not only Christian Fooks, which it is at the moment, but No Fooks Given is an attitude. It's simply, well, you also cannot give a fooks, you know? You should,
pushing,
I think,
forward.
All the people out there should give less fooks in life than they do at the moment. It simply makes life more enjoyable, and just living on the edge. It's fun. It's fun. I mean, some people came up to me rolling up their sleeve. Suddenly there's the skull tattooed on their arm. And I'm like, that's very cool. But it also comes with the responsibility to me. So whatever happens with No Fooks Given in the future, I can guarantee one thing, it will never die. I will always keep it up, no matter what, in which way ever. Mm-hmm. Maybe we branch out to other things. I'm very open for anything.
To just grow the brand.
Exactly.
So, professional football player, entrepreneur, there's lots of other people out there doing multiple tasks. What's your secret to work-life balance?
Well, my work-life balance right now is pretty simple to explain. My wife, my family is living in New York, so... It's funny, yeah. So whenever they are not here, which is usually they're coming every 3 to 4 weeks, so whenever they're not here, I'm crazy working. I'm constant. Off and on the pitch. So So working and getting other thoughts other than thinking about football all the time helps me on the pitch to have a free mind to enjoy my football even more now.
Yes.
Because for me, it's not everything is about football. I have other interests, and it's more productive for me than coming back to football and giving it even more. It might be sounding weird for fans out there that think, yeah, football has to think about football nonstop, but the complete other way helps me to perform even better or to give more back to the club.
Mm.
But then so that's one balance. But yes. The second balance is when my family is here, I'm taking more time off. So it helps my wife and myself when she's here, when I'm over in New York, that we are together and we can work together, but we take our time and the rest is family time, which I usually don't have because, you know, a day can also end for me, like yesterday at 1:30 a.m. where I still worked a little bit on No Fucks Given.
So yes.
Because there are too many tasks. It's not only the videos or not only the t-shirts. There's so much in the background. I also have other projects. I have a football academy that I'm running in 3 different countries,
yeah,
which is the US, UK, Austria. So there's simply a lot going on, but I love it. I can tell you I love it.
Cool. So obviously, all of this started with social media. I was going to ask you, with regards to social media, could you stress to entrepreneurs and startups out there why it's so important to embrace social media and how it's been positive for your brands?
It's just the easiest and cheapest way to get in touch with the whole world, even though you might not reach the whole world at once because you have just this amount of followers, or you have to grow your followership,
yep,
or your fans, or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is cheap. It doesn't mm-hmm. cost anything. You set up a platform. The important part is, and then I want to refer to Gary Vaynerchuk, that you might know. He's mm-hmm. he's a U.S. entrepreneur from New York,
mm-hmm.
One of the first founders of investors of Snapchat and Facebook.
Right.
So
okay.
He did a lot right. And I met with him for a podcast as well.
Brilliant.
Which were, I told my wife that I'm meeting Gary Vaynerchuk, and she was like, are you killing me? Because she is an absolute fan of his.
Wow. Mm.
I made him do a video for her, which was my payback, so she's not that mean at me anymore. But what I learned from that was that, because I spoke to him, he said when he started his Twitter accounts, when he started his Facebook accounts, Instagram, you name them, for the first 3 years, he invested so much time in answering the comments that, and people appreciate that. And the word travels then. So
yeah.
If I see social media less as a one-way street, but more of a basis, because it's called social media.
Yeah.
So it should go both ways.
Absolutely.
So it's a way of communicating with fans that might never have the chance to see you.
Mm.
And that's how I'm running my social media as well. So if you go on my platforms, whichever one you want to choose, you will see me interacting with them, commenting them, answering their comments.
Mm.
And it really shows a lot more interaction when you do that.
Absolutely. And it's also showing your integrity and honesty, because you did, was it 1.5 hour, 2 hours on Reddit, where you just went through and any question that they fired at you, you just went for it.
Well, you're trying to. I mean, I think it's hard to answer 6,500 questions in 2 hours, but I tried my best to answer 1% of them.
Mm.
But for example, what resulted out of that? I posted a simple picture of myself and our fitness coach after a training that we had. And in that training, we played football tennis. Obviously, we got battered by the other team because our fitness coach, sorry, Reefsy, he's not a footballer. But he can kick the ball, but he cannot play football tennis. So one Leicester fan answered, if you ever want to get beaten by me, just let me know.
Wow, okay.
He didn't expect an answer. So I said, okay, name, time and place, and I'll be there. 1 week later, we had the face-off. Let's call it a day for them, because I think the bum still hurts. We made a no-fucks given football tennis.
Of course it's a forfeit.
Exactly, and I hit him right in the middle of his behind.
Brilliant.
It was amazing. I loved it. But that's, again, interacting with fans.
Absolutely.
I don't know how many footballers out there would be doing that. So I think that's pretty unique.
Mm. So it goes back to the question I was asking you earlier about what is the USP of the brand? And it's you.
Yeah.
You're able to, you know, reach out and just touch and actually interact and be personable to the individuals. And they
know. I think I am, yeah.
You don't give a fuck. You just
You got it. You don't give a fuck. I don't
just
give a fuck, and you don't give
a
fuck.
Exactly. Let's just talk. Let's do it.
Exactly. So let's do a no fucks given challenge after.
We'll do that.
You don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
that's not give a fuck.
So there was talk that you're going to be releasing potentially garms, menswear, womenswear each season. What's the likelihood, Christian, that at some point we'll see the No Fucks Given brand at a London fashion show, Paris fashion show, New York fashion show?
Well,
something that
I'm aspiring for that. I really want to do that eventually. I think I still need to grow the brand more, develop it more, give it even more of an identity.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I really want to do that. I'm really aiming for that. It's a big thing for every fashion label. And I'm believing that it will happen.
Cool. So have you got aspirations? You got a view that 5 years' time I want to be doing X for the No Fucks Given brand?
Not really at the moment. Not really.
Okay.
But getting there at some point. See, everything, even though it's 2 years old, but for a brand it's very young. So
yeah.
I'm definitely aiming to do that, but everything is still so fresh for me that my thoughts are not there yet. My thoughts are going more into the process now of building up the brand.
Yeah.
Like I said, giving it an even stronger identity.
Mm.
I mean, the identity is there already, but when people come in with the skull and being tattooed or whatever it is, there are so many crazy things out there that are happening around No Fucks Given because people understand it,
mm-hmm.
especially the English-speaking people understand it that you should not give too many of a fucks.
Mm.
But I believe it can be even stronger and it can be even more out there in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when we get to this point, then I think it's the right time to approach, to aim higher.
Okay. So soccer, as it's called in America.
Soccer.
Yeah. Obviously one of the fastest growing sports in America. And your surname in German means fox.
Yeah.
You signed for the Foxes, Leicester City Football, and now you've developed and launched the Fox Academy, as you said earlier, running in the UK, Austria, your home country, and the
US.
What's your hopes and aspirations for the Fox Academy?
They changed over time. So it all started literally with my son being at one of those soccer camps in New York. There are too many there.
Right.
And I experienced that he simply didn't get the quality of training that I'm assuming to have when you pay a good amount of money. So my wife dropped him off there, stayed there to check out the camp, and he was literally for half an hour dancing with his lunchbox.
Wow.
And nobody was paying attention to him. Nobody was giving him good instructions also when they did exercises. So this was the starting point where I just said, listen, I can do better. Let's do something ourselves. So we were inspired by that because we have the knowledge, we have the resources,
mm-hmm.
so let's do it. So in 2015, I think, 2015, we just gave it a try. First camp, 1 week in New York, 25 kids, amazing. Because I'm also there. When I do it, I'm trying to be there as much as I can. And all the other camps there, they can be called Paris Saint-Germain camp, Arsenal camp, whatever they are. But there's no professional there.
It's outsourced, isn't it?
Exactly. No. And there they have this chance to meet a professional footballer, which I think is also pretty unique, especially in the US, to have a Premier League player there, or back then I was playing for Schalke in the Bundesliga, to have a European professional there.
Yeah, yeah.
Active. active because they're also
retired.
They're retired players there that do it. Yeah, that's all good, and I think they have good intentions. But I think that's still that still tops them. But then the second year came. We had right away 120 kids in the second year, just in the course of 2 weeks, which showed me, okay, we're doing the right thing. Then we started to start Fox Soccer Academy in the UK, where we are a little bit different. We're not doing weekly camps. We're doing camps every Monday, which is now in the second year already. Every Monday here locally in Leicester. Same in Austria, every Wednesday. And I'm also going to Austria here and there whenever I can fit in the schedule. This Sunday I'm going to Austria. But our goal is to find talent, to be also kind of eyes and ears for local teams in New York, here, also in Austria. Because I believe, and that's what my personal way taught me, that there's still talent out there to be discovered. When I was a teenager, probably 11, 12 years old, none of the first team clubs in Austria wanted me in their academies. Yeah. They said, I'm not talented enough. Which was for me then, which gave me the drive to show them, okay, listen.
The challenge is taken.
You're wrong. You can take it either way. You can say, okay, I will never make it then because they give me that feedback, or, hey, you better watch out. You'll see me in a couple of years. So that was when I was 12, 13. 4 years later, I signed my first professional contract for a first league team. Mm. And that experience that I had and the way that I became professional, I want to give this hope to all the kids out there that might also have the same critics, that people, that teams just tell them, listen, you're not good enough, I'm sorry, or that have never been discovered. So even though the system here is great, I mean, Europe, UK, everything is about football, and there are scouts, a lot of, let's call them.
Yeah, they still miss great talent.
But you can miss talent. Mm. And we in our academy over the last 2 years, we had now, from the UK, we had three kids going into the Leicester Academy for a tryout. This week is the fourth one, which is a keeper. He went straight into the academy without being just scouted before. He went straight in. One game, he was doing well. They said, come on over. We had three kids so far coming from the US over. One went to Austria. The other one also went to England. So it's amazing to see how our system works. We're also working on a Premier League syllabus, which, because my coach is a Premier League coach.
Yes.
Not in the Premier League itself, but in the youth system. So we have a big knowledge there. And yeah, I'm looking forward now to soon, hopefully, some Austrians coming over here, which would be another great success for us. And also this year we are starting a scholarship program, so we're also offering education.
Excellent.
Also this brand develops by the month, by the year, and also happy with that progress.
Excellent. When you do the academy in America, do you get some of your colleagues that you know in America in sports to come along, some of the American football?
Oh, I'm trying to bring people along all the time. It's exciting for those kids over there.
To see their heroes.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, I've done a bit of research on you. And there was a
you did?
I did lots of research on you.
I like Christian. that guy.
So there's a big picture in your home in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Which Ethan has drawn. So he's clearly got a talent and he could potentially be an artist. Is there any sort of views of yourself and your wife that you would like either of your sons, Ethan and the other son, to become a football player at some point?
Well, he's playing.
Yeah.
He's playing in teams in New York. Mm-hmm. He's doing well. He just doesn't know if he wants to be a keeper or a defender or a striker or a midfielder. And I'm telling him, listen, don't stand in the goal. Only the crazy ones are going there. Mm. You don't want to be hit by balls all the time.
Yeah.
So I told him, listen, he's a good centre back because he is one head taller than all his teammates, and he can push forward. Mm-hmm. So all the other teams they are playing against, all the kids are also smaller in his age group. He's a pretty tall lad.
Yeah.
So he's good in front of the goal as well. So he can clear everything out in the back.
Yes.
And then score the goals.
Okay. Because my other question was with regards to your wife being a former senior Goldman Sachs analyst. Was she like?
He is really briefed. Whoa.
Would she have wanted them to, you know, coax them towards the finance sector? Yeah, don't be a crazy football player.
She has me already, right?
Exactly.
Well, I would say that my older son, Ethan, he is a creative soul. He's an artist. He painted that beautiful painting, which is in our... Where is it right now? It's in our kitchen.
Right.
It's fantastic. It's huge. It's as big as this wall. Mm. So he is more on that side. Where my younger son, he is more of an athlete. He just started football. I mean, he's 3 years old now. He just started football now 1 month ago. And all he wants to do is run around, jump. He's nuts. He's really crazy. He has all my wife's talent, being crazy.
Okie dokie. I'm sure your wife's listening to this now. You know?
Yeah. She's out there. Hi, baby. don't take me for fool, okay? It's all right.
So, Christian, what is your secret to success? Because obviously there's lots of football players out there. You're already making plans where a lot of football players don't. And that's a piece of advice we'd give to all football players. Start planning early, prior to retirement. What's your secret to success? And what would you also say to entrepreneurs that want to become entrepreneurs, become better entrepreneurs, and football players that want to plan and get ahead after football?
Well, it's definitely the ability to adapt to certain situations, to be open to learn, because if you are too stuck with your mind in doing something, you might end up not being successful. But if you also listen to other people of their experiences, that helped me a lot. That's what I said before. I'm learning by the day. And I'm open to any suggestions that might help me personally then. So these factors, I think, are important, but then also believing in yourself and whatever you do, don't just... Because it's not because you're a footballer, everything will be happening right away or is guaranteed to happen. You have to put a lot of work into your projects and also believe that you will be successful with them. There will be setbacks. I had a lot of setbacks. I mean, they are happening on a frequent basis, but they won't get me off my way that I'm aiming for. So just keep going.
So you've touched on setbacks. If you want to tell us one of the business setbacks that you've had and how you overcome that. Do you want to share that with us?
Well, they are literally happening on a frequent basis. It's about employees, about certain areas of this new business where delays are, say, happening, where you get a no from a retailer or from a store where you pitched your brand and they said, no, we don't want you, which is okay. But then you just don't get frustrated, but then because there are so many other possibilities out there that you can still get into other stores. That's one example.
Drive on. No fucks given. Move on. Persist.
I mean, who else if not me is doing that? Is driving on and keeps going.
Brilliant. So what's been your greatest business lesson to date and why?
That's good. I never had that question before, by the way.
You're welcome.
Are you giving me some time to think about it?
You can have a little bit of time to think about it.
I don't want to stop that conversation, though. So, that's a good question. People, we are live here, so it's all organic that's happening here. I wouldn't really call it a big setback, but it's when you're expecting... Say, when you're expecting the production to be done by such and such time, and you're getting these deadlines from the production company.
Yes.
And then there's a massive delay. And then the shops that are expecting the products are getting turned off by that. So it's again something that I had to learn to deal with, because I understood after that delays are very common in that business and they will happen nonstop. But then it's about how you, I learned my lesson, then it's about how you communicate with the retailers that you want to bring the products to. And lesson learned, and it's not happening anymore.
And you move on.
Move on. No fucks given.
Absolutely.
How many times have you mentioned that right now?
It's the brand. So, in your life after the Premier League, yeah, you've already promised your wife you're going to be residing in Manhattan with you and your boys. Yeah, I've done my research. You're saying after the Premier League, potentially American Football League, yeah, MSL, maybe American Football League as a kicker, because I know you've got a very, very strong left foot there, kicker, for the American League. Which one is it going to be? Are you already making plans? Are you looking? What are your thoughts now?
Well, I'm really good with the NFL UK, so
yeah,
I'm also trying the games when they're in London all the time. It's simply a sport that's fascinating me. I still want to play football, like the European football, as long as my legs are carrying me, as long as I enjoy it and feel fit enough. But the second I heard that a kicker in the NFL can play until he's in his late 40s.
45, I think you said to me. Yeah.
I was like, listen, I'm kicking balls since I'm 8 months old. I'm doing it for my whole life. I'm playing in stadiums since I'm 17 years old, so that's also almost half my life already. I'm not 34 yet. So why not extending that? I like to play in stadiums. I like full stadiums. I love doing that. I'm sure I can adapt to the kicking. I did some practice already with some NFL coaches eventually last year, where I got a really good feedback. I think one out of three, I scored a 60-yard field goal, so that's a pretty good range for all you out there that don't know anything about the NFL, about American football. So knowing that makes me believe into that again. And again, as with everything that I do, I will definitely go for it. And if it works out, perfect, great.
Absolutely.
If not, another lesson learned, another experience that I had, and great fun.
Absolutely. So there's a bit of a twist here. Obviously, it goes back to when you were younger, you were the fun character, Lester, the camaraderie, the banter. But there's something about you being inspired by Jimmy Fallon and writing material and maybe even talk about potentially one day becoming a talk show host. So tell us about that, Christian.
Where did you get all this information from? Well, as I'm very versatile with everything that I do, with my brand, when I'm doing fashion. I mean, I'm playing football. I have my fashion label. I'm doing football academies. I'm doing my videos where I like to have fun, where I have a lot of banter in there. I can see myself doing that. If it's a pre-late night show or a part of Jimmy Fallon, I simply love Jimmy Fallon. I went to his show last summer when I was over in New York for holidays. Oh, back home.
Of course,
and I simply love what he does. It's really great fun. He's amazing. I also try to build up my No Fucks Given videos on that. So yeah, it's again like it's the same, exactly same thing like with the NFL. I will try doing it. I will try. I will.
Excellent.
And I see now all these No Fucks Given videos, all the fun videos that I do with some colleagues of mine as kind of a pre-season.
Yes.
And I hope I will be ready for the season then.
Excellent. That's really good. I wish you luck with that. It'd be fantastic to see you on a late night show.
Well, that's after the NFL, guys. That's after the NFL. Or during the NFL.
Now, Niche Magazine and yourself have got a really good affiliation with Leicester Riders, back to back, three times
winners. British, yeah, British, congratulations,
basketball team
made it happen
exactly.
Again. Yeah,
how did that start, Christian? How did that come about?
How did this come about? So, just before the season, Russell Levinson, who was the manager there, he approached me. I think it was at the Riders Arena anyway, and he also knew about Nofus Given, what we are doing, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. It was as simple as that, because I make decisions pretty fast. I'm not like, I have to think about this, and no, do it or don't do it.
You're an Aries.
And I was like, okay, let's do it. Let's see how it works.
Yeah.
But we made the Riders the third time champions again, Nofus Given. We had, I mean, it's more than just, you know, being their fashion sponsor. It's more than that. I mean, I did a couple of videos with the boys. They're amazing. If every footballer would be as hands-on as every basketball in their team, I would love it. I would love it. But they are simply cool boys. They deserve to win, to win also the playoffs then. It's a fun project again, and with cool guys.
Cool. Now, you're a fantastic role model for football players, entrepreneurs. What I love about, and having done my research, what I love about you is the fact that you don't give a fooks, right?
But also, that's number 20.
But you give them back to the community of Leicester. Yeah. You give them back nationally and globally.
Yeah.
And you're one of those individuals that actually pays it forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you just share with us the story about a young girl who's a fan of Leicester, watched the game at the Peterborough FA Cup, asked for your shirt. What happened next?
Well, I saw a Twitter post where some Leicester fans, they tweeted a picture of her, that she was in the stands and she had a banner. Very sweet. I don't know exactly which word she used, but Christian, can I please have your shirt? But when you look in the crowd, when you're on the field, there are so many people in there that it's easy to oversee something like that. So I literally didn't see it, only on social media after. So I took that picture, put it on my page, said, listen, if you see this, send me an email or send me a message, direct message. Mm-hmm. However, get in touch with me and we're going to make that happen. And they eventually got in touch with me. Her father got in touch with me, who was also on the picture. And I said to them, listen, I'll have your shirt, but why don't you come to my box in the stadium, enjoy the game, and I'll meet you after, and I'll give you the shirt from that game, and this is how it happened. And it was fun for me to see. Her dad after told me that she was almost crying when the game was over, and she knew that I would be coming up very soon. But that's very sweet.
It's absolutely brilliant. And credit to you as well, because not many players would go to that sort of length to do it. But that's what we're saying about social media and your ability to interact and be personable.
Exactly.
Brilliant. So, continuing in that vein, your charitable work and your paying it forward, you're also working with the street soccer in Manhattan. Do you want to tell us about that as well? Because that's about giving back.
I have loads to tell you. Yeah, I also work with IAM in Leicester.
Of course, I'm going to touch on that in a little
while.
Cool,
Street Soccer USA came about that my wife went to one of their breakfasts in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just there. She is the same like me. She's like, let's do it or let's not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me after about it. She said, it's amazing what they're doing. They're literally helping underprivileged kids to get football training for no cost.
Mm-hmm.
It's a charity, obviously, because football over there in the US, especially in New York, Manhattan area, is very expensive. You pay a lot of money to get your son dancing half an hour with a lunchbox. So we were like, let's do this. Let's do it. Let's get in touch with them. Let's do something together with Fox Soccer Academy. And was it 2 weeks later, we had a clinic, a two-hour training. I had my coach over there from the UK, who I'm working with Fox Soccer Academy. Myself, I was there too. We had 80 kids. all in Fox Soccer Academy shirts, which was crazy because everything was orange.
Cool.
And it was amazing to see how the... This is the thing, you know. There's talent there again, which again needs to be discovered, but might never be discovered because they cannot afford to play football in the United States.
Absolutely.
Which is a shame because football should be free for everybody. Absolutely. I mean, I know myself. I played football on the street. I always had my friends over, but if you don't have the possibility to do that, you should be offered football, free football at some point. And I hope there will be more coming up very soon over there. We are definitely in touch with them. They are happy to keep working with us because it was a great experience for them as well as for us, especially for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this summer we'll be doing more.
Cool. So tell me about the IAM and the Dorothy Goodman School and some of the other charitable works you've done in and around Leicester.
Please. Yeah, Liam DC, who was working for the Dorothy Goodman School, he approached me eventually via email, told me about what IAM is, what the Dorothy Goodman School is doing. I read the email, I got in touch with him. And it's really, it's hard work that all those people that are working for Dorothy Goodman School are putting in. They are doing a great job in educating the kids and giving them a chance in life.
Yeah.
And for them, you know, because they're trying to develop the facility over there, it was about raising awareness and especially money to be able to afford that. And we then said, okay, let's use me as the face of No Fucks Given and No Fucks Given itself to make a branded t-shirt together with them and sell them to raise money. And everything that we did, we also sold them on our website. Then IAM sold them themselves and everything went into a charity and we raised a good amount of money.
That's absolutely great. Brilliant. And I heard that the kids went absolutely wild when you
We made a nice video where some of the kids were there, which, you know, it's for me when I do something like that, it also reminds me of how good I have it in life. Because whatever we are doing, we take it as granted, but some people will never enjoy what we are able to. It's always a good life lesson to see something like that. And the kids, they were amazing. I mean, in this video, it was pretty serious at the beginning, and we were talking about what IAM is standing for. But then at the end, I had this idea because, again, it's No Fucks Given, and I want people to not give a fucks. That's for the 23rd time right now. At the end, I said, listen, do you have water guns? Do you have water balloons? Come and just spray me. And the kids were going nuts with it. They were all over me. They were spraying me in my face. Water balloons all over me. I was soaked, but they had fun, and I enjoyed it.
And they're never going to forget that. That's going to just sit with
them. It's great. It's great. And if that helps them, exactly, if that helps them, I'm very happy.
Brilliant. Now, I've almost covered all my questions, Krishna, so thanks ever so much. I've just got some quick fire questions relating to Leicester for you. So what's your favourite thing about the city of Leicester? Other than meeting me today, of course.
You know. I've been meeting you. Come on. I like this restaurant that's just across from the street from here.
Right, which one is it?
I think it's a Thai restaurant.
Right, okay.
Poh, you guys gotta go there. It's so good.
Mm.
It's so good. But I like the people here.
Mm.
I like the people, the way they are. Very straightforward, but always up for a joke.
Oh, it's lots of banter in Leicester. So what's your favourite place to visit in Leicester?
There's a Thai place, so just across the road. I want to be honest. My favourite place, which is in the Leicester area.
Yeah. Leicestershire.
Leicestershire, is Hambledon Hall.
Right, okay.
I love that place. Every time now that I moved down to London, we have more chance to go there than when we were here.
Right, okay.
Because whenever my wife is here and we're coming up to Leicester because I have a game or because we have business meetings, we want to stay there. We like to stay. It's lovely. It's on this peninsula. And it's adorable.
So is that where, when the wife's over and the two kids, is that where you go most of the time to chill out and relax? Is that where you like to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Christian, I'm done. And thank you ever so much for the interview.
Thanks for having me again.
Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've spoken with Christian. Thank you ever so much. That interview was done in collaboration with Niche Magazine. I just want to thank Christian for having the interview today. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
I look forward to speaking
much.
To you again soon. Thank you ever so much.
We'll make it happen.
Relax. Awesome. Well done.
Here we go. Hey, that was good.
That's
55
minutes.
55 minutes? What the fuck? But that passed much faster, no? That was good.
Not for me.
That was good. That was good. I hope I made it easy for you.